You mean Moe's? I'm like, no, right down from there, bro. Same strip.
That's right. I was at the station. I got a text. Did you know we're in North Little Rock today? I was like, well. And he sent me an address, and I typed in the address. Oh, we must be right near the Moe's. So
yesterday, the SEC coaches talking on the SEC teleconference, because why would they talk in the Big Ten teleconference? That wouldn't make any sense at all.
No sense at all.
None at all.
At the JV teleconference.
That's right.
No one would. They wouldn't. That's not what we do.
No, I love our redshirt guys. They're really good. Brandon Allen may or may not play this weekend. Brett Bielema was asked and answered about it yesterday on the teleconference.
I thought that might be the question of the day. He has definitely gotten better. I know he was a lot better yesterday. We filled out our roster for the trip that we sent in the airlines today. He's definitely going with us, and it'll just be a game-time decision. Hasn't been able to practice as of yet, but the good news is, with this type of situation, we've been able to get a lot of quality reps with our next quarterback, which will be A.J. Derby, and then Austin Allen after that. So it'll be a work in progress to get to Saturday, and if you can't go, then the next man will be in, and we'll take that challenge.
Eyewitness reports tell me today that on campus, Brandon Allen was walking, talking, sling free.
Let me paint worst-case scenario for this weekend is Brandon doesn't play. A.J. Derby somehow gets hurt, and we have to burn Austin Allen's red shirt, and we get beat.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. So everything that happens that's not that is a little bit better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be our baseline we're going to establish for crappy Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. I got gotcha.
You. Feel, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So I don't know. They're just going to put like 9 people in the box. If we can't throw the ball at some,
Yeah, but if I'm a wide receiver or maybe even a tight end that can go, get a little distance.
Yeah, a tight end that's like maybe the best tight end in the,
Hunter Henry,
league.
Jeremy Sprinkle.
Yeah.
You got some playmakers
ballers,
at tight end.
Yeah.
Tate comes back.
Yeah.
I mean.
And they can, they're versatile guys too. Hunter Henry, I had no idea he was that big.
He's
a big freshman, and he can block. He can get in there and do the dirty stuff. And then he can also catch passes and be real, real fast. So let's hope we can get some of that.
Yeah. Well, here's Coach Bielema with more on the quarterback situation. He already mentioned A.J. Derby and Brandon Allen. Here's his thoughts on the overall picture.
I think as a head coach, that whatever quarterback steps back there, I don't think their offense is going to change all that much. I know that they didn't throw the ball much with Dodd in there, but – both very good players. If Chase plays, I know he's a competitor. I know he's a guy that you can see really enjoys playing in the game. So if he's healthy, I'm sure he'll be out there, but we really can't control that. All we do is worry about the formations we line up against, the personnel that we see, and obviously execute our plan.
That was actually about the Rutgers quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. We talked to Chris Carlin earlier, the play-by-play voice of Rutgers.
Sounds like he's going to play. Sounds like Nova's going to play.
I think so, too. Hey,
that's the feeling I get.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't. Chris Carlin's interview is posted already in the audio gallery, I'm sure, because I know Matt and I know how he
it
rolls.
Is.
Of course it is.
See?
Actually, Matt had it posted before we even did the interview, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Carlin was great, and he shed a little insight on that. So, yeah, I think we're all anticipating that. He will play. They also have a very impressive running back in the early going here. And their only loss this year, a one-point overtime loss after they went for two against a Fresno State team that many people think will go undefeated this year.
Yeah, and, that was a sort of a controversial call, I guess, going for two right there. But I'm trying to win it in a hostile environment like that. Like I'm trying to get in there and
not me.
And win it. I'm not trying to Matt Jones it and play for seven.
Well, but that's the thing. I've seen Arkansas go on the road and win in overtime, multiple overtime. Saw them do it double overtime at Alabama, 7 at Ole Miss, 7 at Kentucky. All those are road. I'm thinking they did lose a 6 overtime game at Tennessee, admittedly.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, man, can a brother get a home overtime game up in here?
Mm-mm.
But Arkansas has had a ton of good ones on the road. So, yeah, I don't know that I would have. But I'm biased because I've seen my team get it done a few times. So.
Right.
Anyway. Other news in the SEC. Oh, wait. Well, actually, I've got some Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback related to football here and Arkansas specifically.
American football.
Duncan and Conway on the Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Don't sleep on Derby's skill as a quarterback. Despite what you saw last week, just know the kid can play QB and he's good. He's a mold of a Russell Wilson. Don't see that because he's really big and he doesn't throw it that well. Actually, he's totally different than Russell Wilson. People want to bring up the fact that he was a linebacker at Iowa when, in fact, he never played it down at that position, and he was only a JUCO QB. He decided to go the JUCO route so he wouldn't have to sit out a year when he returned to an FBS school. This kid was the Iowa equivalent of Brandon Allen coming out of high school. A few bumps in the road to his dream landed him here. Although I believe in Brandon Allen, a week of work taking snaps with the first team for Derby is going to create a quarterback controversy after this game. Wow, that's high praise. Derby's going to be able to do some things for the Hogs that Wilson can't do. The same things that Russell Wilson was able to do for Wisconsin. I guess he means that Allen can't do. Bielema and his staff know this. If you have seen Derby as a quarterback in an offense that caters to his skill set, you will know that he's poised to shine. Here's what I'm concerned about. The kid was a 50% or worse passer everywhere he's been, which is basically a JUCO stop and an Iowa stop, and I don't think I'm quite as sold as this particular guy is, but I hope Duncan and Conway is right, and I hope he plays so well there is a quarterback controversy.
Me too, but, you know.
What I really hope, I wish that is Brandon Mitchell had not transferred to NC State.
Well, we sure could have used some Brandon Mitchell right now, but oh well. Yeah, my thing about, you know, A.J. Derby, though, that kind of a quarterback isn't going to get us out of the jam of them only playing the run if we cannot complete some passes. Like, I don't care if he's a playmaker. I need him to keep a secondary honest.
I'll give him this. He was 4-6 last week.
Yeah.
I guess Rutgers defense is a little more talented than Southern Miss's.
You know, maybe so. Southern Miss, their linebackers played really well. You know, so I'm trying to hunt for a silver lining here. I'm not down on Derby at all, but I mean, clearly they had a spring and fall with they're competing every day for that spot. No one just says, here you go, Brandon, your dad's a coach. Let's give you the football. I mean, he won that, so clearly he's the number one option, but let's just hope that there's not too much of a fall off between one and two.
Like I said earlier in the week, what do the horses do at the Arkansas Derby?
They line up and run.
That's right. What do they do at the Kentucky Derby?
They line up and run.
What do they do at the AJ Derby, my man? They line up and run. So that's what's going to happen. Arkansas is going to ground and pound. He's going to have to throw about 15 balls to keep them off kilter, just to skosh.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just keep the safeties back.
I think that's enough to give them a
chance. I'll tell you what play we need to run. It's just whatever play you pick on PlayStation and just hit XX, because that snaps the ball and it throws it to your tight end. That's what I want to see, XX.
I will say this. I think that there will be a 70-yard run this weekend by an Arkansas running back.
All right.
Or maybe A.J. Derby if they really break coverage.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that their defense is set up to stop the run, so they're going to find out.
If they get nine dudes in the box, you get through that initial line, look out. Because I'm pretty sure Williams or even Collins can get.
Yeah. Play. What a great tandem. You know, I got one of my friends is just like, I don't know. If evidently you can only like one of them or something, you would think. But I really, both of them, we need both of them. They're playing great. I'm really happy with it.
Let's go right.
So, I'm happy.
To the Stickies hotline. Talk to Edward Ashoff.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Edward, thank you for your patience. Sorry, we started rambling and we got a little lost. Plus, we're on location today, so we get confused. But how do you feel about A.J. Derby, the guy we assume will be the starting quarterback at Rutgers this weekend for Arkansas?
If he can hand the ball off really well, then I like him a lot. I listen to everything he said, and I totally agree. He's really unproven as a pure passer. So, I mean, Rutgers is a team that loves stuff to run, so. Maybe he'll surprise and chuck a couple.
Don't you think, though? I mean, this is going to be set up, and I think Arkansas will play a little more balanced defensively, especially with Nova in the game and the fact that he ate him up last year. But, you know, if you get nine guys in the box and they can somehow get through the initial defense, I mean, there may be a long run or two broken by Arkansas this week, and at least that's got to be the hope.
You know, I'm going to – I know the Razorback Nation is going to be happy with me. I picked Rutgers to win this game.
You're dead
because of the uncertainty with Brandon Allen.
Okay.
That shield. And the fact that, yeah, this has been a running team. It's the best running team in the SEC, averaging nearly 300 yards a game, with right now the best looking duo at running back in the conference. But at the same time, Rutgers is only allowing, I think, 53 yards on the ground a game. And they want to win this game. This is a Rutgers team that is hoping that it can do much more than just lose to Fresno State in overtime. So it's in Piscataway. This is the biggest test of the season so far for Brett Bielema and that team. not good when your starting quarterback hobbles. I just like Rutgers at home because I think that Arkansas is going to have to run the ball more, and that's exactly what Rutgers wants to do.
Edward Ashoff of ESPN.com joining us for the last time ever on the Sticky Hotline. Just kidding.
I was just coming around with Hawks fans, too.
What was your takeaway last weekend? A couple of high-profile games. Tennessee getting an opportunity to do something good out at Oregon. It fell flat on its face after a good, I don't know, 60, 70 seconds into the game. And then the big one, of course, A&M and Alabama, which was an extremely entertaining game. So takeaways from last weekend for you.
I think the biggest thing is that Alabama really does have an offense. And I know that Texas A&M probably has the worst defense in the SEC right now. Might be one of the worst defenses in the entire country. But when that offensive line is in sync, this team can throw and run. And I think that's really dangerous. Yeah, Alabama's defense didn't look great, especially in the secondary, you know, with Blue out in that game. And it looks like he'll be back for the rest of SEC play. But, you know, John Fulton, he had a rough go. And that's not good when your other corner is struggling. So I think it'll be interesting to see what that secondary does from here on out. But I like the play up front. I mean, when it's Johnny Manziel, it's tough for any defensive line to really look good. But I like what Jeffrey Pagan did. I like what Stinson did. I do think that this is still the premier team. It's the team to beat. And A.J. McCarron showed, hey, if they need to win a shootout, they can. And I think that's something that Nick Saban is very, very happy about. He was actually smiling after this win. You know that he's pretty happy with what he saw from his offense. I still think that Johnny Manziel is the best player in the country. For him to break records against the Alabama defense in a game that they lost, I know he threw those two interceptions, but to bring his team back, and who knows, if they get that onside kick with 15 seconds left, I'm not betting against Johnny Manziel to figure out a way to find the end zone. So I think a great performance by him. It showed us how much he's grown as a player. I know that everything we talked about was off the field leading into this game, but talk about a guy who was focused in that one, who showed that he really did practice during the offseason and worked on his throwing. And he was someone who didn't think to run first. He did that all last season. He went through his progression. He found Mike Evans as much as possible, which I think any quarterback in the country would love right now. So I still think A&M is a team that's going to be able to score a bunch of points on teams. That LSU game will be really interesting for this offense. And as far as Tennessee, that's pretty much what I expected. They generate a lot of takeaways on defense against bad teams. Then they play a really good team in Oregon to smoke them. So it'll be interesting to see what they do at Florida. Certainly the Gators aren't Oregon when it comes to moving the ball, but they have looked better through the first 80 yards of the field, and I think that's going to give Tennessee some trouble Saturday.
You mentioned Alabama you think is the best team in the league, and a lot of people would argue that. Most people have them as the best team in the country by a pretty good margin. But according to the Colley Matrix, they're not even the best team in Alabama. Auburn, the number one team in the country, according to the Colley's bias-free matrix. There are actually two computers used in the BCS rankings that have Auburn in the top three. Nobody else has them in the top 30. What do you think of Auburn?
I certainly don't agree with that at all. I think that Auburn's certainly better than what they were last year, but this is still a team that has to develop more in the secondary, and it has to develop more up front. It played well against Mississippi State's running back, but it just doesn't have that aggressive feel to it that you need a defensive line in the SEC to have. And anybody who's covered this league or has even watched the game knows how important it is to play up front. So I think they're going to get their real test of the season Saturday against a very, very good LSU offense and certainly a very, very good LSU running game. So I think that Auburn is improved. I like what Nick Marshall did last week. Really saw him grow up, especially on that last drive. I mean, he looked like a better quarterback out there leading Auburn to a game-winning drive. And they weren't playing for a field goal. They put that on him to say, hey, score us a point. Don't kick a field goal. And that's big. I mean, there are other starting quarterbacks in this league that I'm not sure could really do that right now. So I like where Auburn is. I just don't think they're even close to Alabama.
I will give Gus Malzahn credit. He said, well, the computers can't come watch practice. We're not there yet. We're a work in progress. So he is trying to deflect a little bit of that silliness. So I give him credit for that.
Yes, certainly. And I think he's done a very good job of developing guys, but there's still a lot of work to be done on the play.
Where do you have LSU ranked in the overall SEC scheme?
I think they're number two. I think they're right behind Alabama. And I know everybody's going to talk about the competition, and certainly when TCU doesn't look so good after a pretty close game toward the end, because LSU just kind of let the Horned Frogs hang around, I still like this team. I think it's right now the most balanced team in the SEC. When you look at defense, when you look at the passing game and the running game, Zach Mettenberger has grown up so much. I mean, he's third in the SEC in passing. And, yeah, you look at the defenses he faced, but look at the defenses he faced to start off last year, and he wasn't even close. He's a totally different quarterback right now than what he was last season. And I think that's big. This is setting up, if they get past Florida for an epic, epic game in Tuscaloosa between these two teams. So I really like it. I think that defense is probably as athletic as it was last year, maybe a little more athletic. Still needs the experience, obviously, and playing that Georgia offense is certainly going to help these guys grow up.
Yeah, talking about Georgia, too, it's interesting. You got Marshall and Mettenberger, a couple of former Georgia quarterbacks who are now facing off in a game between Auburn and LSU. It's kind of interesting. But as far as Mettenberger goes, Cam Cameron having a huge impact on him. 9-0. Those are the numbers of note for him. 9 touchdowns, no interceptions for him. And he's over 62% passing as well. So they've got to be extremely pleased. And we all knew they'd have a good offensive line and good running back play. But the fact that he's playing like that, and if he could continue it, they're going to be tough to deal with later in the season. Texas A&M, I saw a story this morning on ESPN.com, has raised $740 million in donations over the past fiscal year. That's pretty good. I don't know if that's a record, but it's got to be pretty darn close. Pretty impressive effort for them, and obviously Johnny Football and the success on the football field I'm sure has a lot to do with it. Coming out of last weekend, who is your top Heisman contender?
I had Johnny Manziel number one, and I know he lost, and I know that Taj Boyd is undefeated. Teddy Bridgewater, obviously, Marcus Mariota, but he played like the best player in the country last week. And when they were down, was it 35-14? I thought it was over. I was like, okay, Alabama has come into College Station. We'll stomp Johnny Manziel. We're done. We won't hear about him. And then he almost wins that game for this team. And so I think that he is still top to bottom the best player in the country. And if his passing improves every game like it has so far, I think that it's going to be tough. He can get close to the numbers, and I didn't think he would. I think he's going to be able to get close to those numbers passing, if not surpass it this season. It's going to be tough not to give him that award. He lost two games last year and won it, so I don't think this game knocked him up. I think this game actually put him up over everybody because of how well he played against the number one team in the country.
Well, he had to get silly this weekend then because they're playing SMU and they're at home, and they're probably already looking ahead to Arkansas. Real tough matchup next week in Fayetteville. They get ready. Hey, totally off the board SEC-wise, but I love Taj Boyd, too, and if he's not number one, I've got him in the top two or three for my Heisman poll. That's a tough game, though. Again, going on the road as a favorite Thursday night game, it'd be an interesting environment, I'm sure, at NC State. So any concern, you think, for Clemson tonight?
It's funny. I was joking around with one of my bosses when we were talking about possible national championships, and I said, well, you know, if Alabama, Texas A&M went out, probably going to be that. And he said, well, what about Clemson? I was like, when did they play NC State or Maryland? And he kind of stopped. He said, Thursday night they play NC State. So the giant killers that we've seen the last couple of years, NC State's been one of them. I think Clemson wins this game, but I think it's close because that's what Clemson does. That's what Florida State does. That's what ACC, that's what the top teams in the ACC do. They struggle against these sort of teams, and it shakes everything up, and it would be pretty interesting to see a shakeup this early in the season, especially from a Clemson team that got such a big win against Georgia to start the year.
Yeah, that those clowns from NC State tripped up Florida State last year and totally derailed their chances. So I picked Florida State to win the national title after being talked into it by a couple people. Stupid NC State screwed me up. Luckily, Florida State lost again later, so I felt better about it. But that would have been a tough one. If you lose at like 2 point, like an 18-16 game or whatever that game was last year with them, and that's your only loss, that would have been a hard one to swallow. Anyway, it's not the most compelling weekend in FBS football this weekend. That's why College Game Day is going to North Dakota State. But tonight's game should be pretty interesting, so we'll see how that shakes out. Edward, we appreciate the time. We'll still have you back on next week, even though you picked Rutgers this week. That's okay. I'll give you a chance to make up for it next week with the pick of Arkansas over A&M.
You're killing me. If FMU pulls the upset, maybe there's a chance.
Yeah, then again, maybe not. Yeah, if Johnny Manziel gets lost on the way to Fayetteville, I think there's going to be a chance, but it'll be fun anyway. Man, appreciate the time. Have a good weekend.
All right, you guys too.
Take care.
Johnny Manziel probably does fly separate from the team.
He ought to.
He's worth $740 million to that university for raising money.
I think he's not all his. Probably $739.5 million. Did you see? Did you ever see that TV show based on his life, Entourage, on HBO? Talked a lot about that this week.
Hey, I tell you what, man.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought I heard something.
We're gonna talk to Sid here in a second, but go ahead.
Oh no, just on the Johnny Manziel tip.
Are you ready for me?
Hang on, Sid. I gotta let Matt finish up here.
No, if I was Johnny Manziel, you couldn't tell me anything. Like, I would order the team's food.